Okay, so we are on Halacha Zion.
Think so.
Halacha Zion. So, Pilpilin Vezangvil. So these are spices. So it seems that they can be eaten as a vegetable when they are young. Okay. So a pilpul and zangvil. So pilpul and zangvil. I guess pepper, and I'm not sure what zangvil is, but another
Ginger.
ginger.
Yeah, Chabad got translated as ginger, yeah.
Ginger, okay. Is manchem retuvim when they're still moist? So I don't know if that's young or if they're not dried out. I think it's just they're not dried out. In other words,
That's what the Chabad guy seems to indicate.
yeah, it's not that it's a level of maturity, because I was already thinking that would be a contradiction to kor. So it's not that it's an immature state, but rather it's the other way. It's the opposite of kor. Kor is the heart of palm is wood, which in a certain stage, a very particular stage of growth, is edible. This is a vegetable that, if it's dried out, brings out its spicy properties. So bisman shem retuvim v'rechelam ber pri adama. Okay, so when they're moist, they bury pri adama. Avayu veishim, but when they're dry, einam tunim bracha lofneim v'achrayim, they don't need a bracha before or after. Ipnei shem tavlin beinan ochel, because they are spice and are not food. That's interesting. That is interesting. So a spice is by definition not a food. It's a spice. It's not something. So that goes to Rabbi Rosenthal's point. There's a very, very significant feature of pre, which is cultural, culinary and cultural. I've just something to think about. That's not the point, right? All right, good. So that's very interesting. So when it's so when it's moist, let's say ginger. So is it that? So ginger? Do people eat ginger when it's not dried out?
Yes, very often. I had it yesterday.
Like, say,
You
like a
mince.
vegetable? Like a vegetable?
No. You mince it up. You use it as like you would garlic, sauteed garlic and ginger with cabbage, with carrots, with whatever.
That's interesting. So why is that not a spice? That's still a spice.
Well, he doesn't mention garlic here, which is interesting. I think he's talking about literally you dry it, you grind it up, you use it as a sprinkling in a cake, in a, you know, in a something. It's not really a garnish. You use purely as a flavoring. But it's also, it, I mean, the way I used it yesterday, it wasn't dried at all. It was minced up like garlic, and you use it as part of the cooking. So, it's, yeah, I'm not sure. I
Well,
mean.
like garlic, you can put in raw as well, as if
Right, exactly. I wonder if you would say the same thing about garlic. Garlic versus garlic
ginger.
powder, which is dried and ground up to tiny little
Right,
whatever.
right. So, but I mean, certainly there's garlic, there's ginger candy. Ginger candy is a thing. It's eaten, it's eaten sweetened. That's not a spice, that's a candy. But pepper. Pepper has no counterpart to, and what's pepper? I mean, people eat pepper moist. I mean, what does that even mean? Pepper, does he mean hot peppers? Maybe it means hot peppers.
Yeah, I wonder.
How does he translate? I mean, pilpilin in Hebrew, I think it's both. I think it's both hot peppers as well as black pepper. Which one is he referring to? Can you tell? What does the Chabad guy want to say it is?
It just says fresh peppers in the Chabad.
Fresh peppers. Yeah, that would seem to be hot peppers. So hot peppers as opposed to pepper flakes. So in countries that like let's say I remember Yehuda Rappaport, his wife is from Iran.
By the way, Barry Sachs, Ryan Steindl has a very good point. I mean, if he makes an okimta, which of course I'm not sure he's right, but he's saying. The peppers and the gingers in the time when they're retuvin, which are moist, he says, lachim, moist, shaloyivshu osam latavim. They're not dried out for spices.
Right.
In other words, like a green pepper, you know, what we call bell peppers. A bell pepper is a bray priyatama.
Right.
You don't really eat it dried out. Dried out is garbage.
Oh, well, but ginger you do, don't you? There's dried ginger.
Yeah, definitely. Candied ginger, dried ginger.
I think let's read that stanza again, because clearly from the Rambam, both of these are dried out. Let me read it again, and I'll show you that definitely they're both dried out and made into flakes. Avayuveshim, but dry ones, einan tunin lelifnem locharem, do not require bracha before or after, mipneshem tavlin, because they are a spice. So both pilpul and zangvil, you know, red hot pepper flakes and ginger powder, are made into tavlin. They are dried out and they are made into tavlin. It's right. Just that before they are dried out and made into tavlin, they are not yet tavlin. They are pre, and they. I'm just thinking of in both cases. There's even to this day. I am in Rambam's day, no doubt. Also,
when are you going to eat straight ginger?
Ginger candy. Ginger candy.
What is it? Ginger candy. Yeah, it's still very popular.
Yeah, to this day, sugar ginger, ginger candy is still to this day a thing. You're just eating ginger with sugar. That's all it is. So it's very tasty. So and pilpul, I was just giving the example, but Edot HaMizrach, and there's people who come from the eastern countries, eat them straight. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's Papa Menina, you know, like we eat an olive. It's something, you know, you have to have been doing it, and they give it to the little kids. The little kids get it. I was looking at it like with kind of amazement that they're like we feed a kid a little bit of olive. They feed him a little bit of red hot pepper, you know. Their mouth gets used to it from the very beginning. So so that's a cultural thing. And you know, the Rambam coming from Middle Eastern country, Egypt or Spain or whatever it might be. You know, I'm sure that that was by no means unknown. So that's it. They're eating. When they're moist, they're eating. However, once they're made into red hot pepper flakes or ginger powder, then that's not any more a food. In other words, since it has been made into that form, the spice form, a spice, even though it's exactly the same thing as the pepper,
right.
It, nonetheless, since it has been manipulated, it has been treated, or what would you call that, Mendel? Cookery has been applied to it. It has been altered, or it has. What do you call in cooking terms when you have treated it or tanned it, or you know, it's, you've.
You're talking about turning a fresh vegetable, like a like a ginger, into the spice.
You have refined it.
You've refined it, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, you peel it and dry it out, and then I mean, I think you grind it up into the spice.
Yeah, I'm just looking for that generic term for that you process in the kitchen. In the kitchen, you wouldn't say you process in the kitchen. You've done some sort of whatever you've done to it, you know, but some sort of kitchen work has been done to it, some culinary work has been done to it, and it's been altered in culinary terms to a spice, even though in terms of its food value, there's no food value difference whatsoever between what it is in a powder or it is as a fruit. That's it. But it's not, but it's designated. It's designated for spice. Spice is not an eating. Spice is just a tasting. And that's it. You don't say a bracha on such a thing. So too foods which are not worthy for achila, and drinks which are not able to be drunk, ain't unto an imbrach. So I guess like vinegar. You know? Vinegar, you wouldn't say a bracha. Which is sort of interesting. Which brings back our old friend of Shimon Zayat of olive oil. Why olive oil wouldn't be in that category? It's sort of interesting. Or flour, right? Those two cases are the ones that stand out. Flour, he says, you say, I think I should hackle. You say some bracha. Oil, you say, you know, at least if it's in the you say a shakel, but why is it? Why isn't oil a mashkish and roi lachishtia? Why isn't flour a michel, which is an ocho, which isn't roi lachila? I don't know. That's a exactly what the criterion of those things are. If those don't meet the criterion, I'm not quite sure what does. You know, olive oil. Who drinks olive oil? It's not something anybody drinks.
Well, this is a raya to the fact that. That the Das Adam, the societal convention, plays a role of the Mechayev. That's the determining factor for being Mevorach on Hana. Because if it was just based upon the botanical criteria, ginger dry or ginger moist is the same pre. There's no difference. Yeah,
same food value, same caloric value, same food value. Same nutritional.
I'm not sure it's the same caloric value.
Well, all that you've lost is water. So the water isn't going to change. It
should be concentrated then for the same volume. You're definitely going to be different, wouldn't it?
What's that, Mendel?
It would definitely be different if you take the water out, because for the same volume, you have an entirely different nutritive effect caloric effect.
We'd have more.
Yeah, it would be much more powerful.
That's right. It would actually be more nutritious. Yeah. It wouldn't be more nutritious, but it would be more concentrated. So if you have the same volume of tavlin as you did before of the pilpul, you get more for your buck. But it doesn't matter, because it's designated in hana terms, in human enjoyment terms. It's not the object of hana that it is a flavoring. It's not a food. And therefore, you must, in order to be chayav a bracha, you must have a hana, the hana of a food, not just a hana, but the hana of a food.
Well, I'm not sure what he's talking about when it comes to peppers. I guess he's talking about hot peppers, right? So you have the ancho chili pepper and these different types of peppers.
In our day, I mean, you know, the Western cuisine is still pretty mediocre compared to Middle Eastern. But I guess one thing which is very obvious that we have would be red hot pepper flakes, which are those peppers that you see in the market, just dried and ground down to pepper flake size.
No, they're just the seeds from inside the pepper. They're not even the pepper.
They're not even the pepper? Okay, they're a component part.
They're not even the pepper.
They're just the seed part.
They're just a crushed red pepper flake, for example. I'm pretty sure it's just the seed part. I guess you could have parts of the pepper skin in there. I'm not sure.
Right.
But generally, it's just the seeds inside the pepper that have the heat. For example, if you take a fresh jalapeno and you take the seeds out, you have significantly less heat than if you minced up the entire thing with the seeds and put that on something. Jalapeno pepper flesh itself without the seeds is fairly mild and perfectly edible, but with the seeds are what are really imparting the heat.
That's interesting.
It's a mix. That's
interesting. But let's say you wanted a very mild, you wanted a mild heat, and you dried down the pepper, and it became a spice, a mild pepper, a cayenne pepper. I don't even know if it's what cayenne pepper is, but let's say that's what it is. Cayenne pepper is definitely pretty mild. So maybe you'd have something along the lines of a cayenne pepper, where it's red. It's peppery to a certain degree, but it's very mild. That would still not get a bracha, according to the Rambam. Just what does Steinsaltz say? Does everybody agree with the Rambam on that one, Rabbi Rosenthal? That you don't get a bracha on the spice?
First of all, the Gra argues is not the appropriate eggs.
if you eat it moist.
If you eat a tuvim, it's appropriate eggs. They grow on the tree. What's going on here? Why are they appropriate them up? That's a dang good question. I didn't catch. Look at them, boys, like right there. It's good kosher. They grow on trees.
Was it a bush?
I don't know. They're like amaratum over here. Ginger. Why is it appropriate eggs? Well,
ginger is a root. It's not a fruit at all.
Ginger is a root.
It's a root.
Yeah, that's definitely a root. So
that might be the Gaonim. So he's going like the Gaonim. The Rambam mentioned
that. What?
That edible part of a tree is a haetz. That was, we saw that by sugar. Let's see. I'll just get it for you.
Right, the sugar is a barbaria.
The Gaonim. Here it is. Hey.
Yeah, the sugar cake. You're eating the wood itself.
Right.
That's true for ginger, which is a root. But what about the peppers? Aren't the peppers grown on a bush?
Let's see.
Peppers?
Yeah.
I think they grow on a vine of some kind, or maybe not a vine. Yeah, a bush.
The question is: it an annual?
Oh.
Because if it's an annual, that wouldn't be a tree, or it might be some sort of complex peppers.
Okay, here we go.
Bush. Okay. Here's the pepper bush. Growing peppers. But it's probably the hot peppers. Hold on a second. I mean, you know, hot peppers is going to be quite a category. It's not going to be just one thing.
Yeah, there are many peppers.
I mean, they're not necessarily all grow in the same way.
In the same way.
So you'd have to explore that. But I'm not sure which one he's thinking of exactly.
That's all a problem in these cases. Like, you don't know when they use a term, that term is an equivocal term. We don't know. That's always a problem in all these cases. Like, what was their palpulin?
Their pilpulin. What was their pilpulin? I mean, you know, there are those who know that, though. Steinsaltz is a good
right.
investigating that type of
stuff. And I'm not sure that either of these things are spices, really. Peppers and ginger don't start out as spices, I guess. Well, I guess that's what we're trying to tease apart.
That's exactly what he's pointing out, is that something can be in one form a fruit, and in the other form a spice, and therefore lose its identity as a fruit, because the fruit has to be something which man uses for his food enjoyment, his food pleasure.
Most people are not aware, including Pinny Rosenthal, that peppers are actual perennials.
They're perennials.
The reason they are actually grown as annuals is because the winter temperature in most places will kill them. They're semi-tropical plants and can't handle the cold weather.
Okay. So there you go.
Yeah, most of those super hot peppers come from the tropical climate, like Africa, Jamaica, Central America.
The whole suffix is going to be like they are.
Right.
They can last all year round.
But they die because of the circumstances. They
How does the Gron know this? He's in Vilna. He's known all this stuff.
No, he was quite a scientist.
He had a culinary. He had a culinary streak.
He was quite a scientist. He was a very, very avid scientist.
The Gron?
Yes, a very avid scientist and mathematician.
Uh-huh.
So he
the whole website had to over what they call overwinter them. Okay. Overwinter.
All right, that's an interesting question. I mean, I'm not sure what that exit the point of that is. I mean, the Rambam might say, you know, but for the most part, they're only grown for 1 year. They could grow for multi-years, you know. Or he might not have been aware that even they could exist multi-year, you know. I don't know. That's an interesting question. Okay, so we be that as it may. The essential point, whether it's a Bray Priya Dhamma or a Bray Priya Eight, is they're shifting from being pre to spice. Does everybody agree about the spice getting no bracha? Remember us though?
Well, Yerusha made he just quotes the Shulchan Aruch citation as in that seems when he does that he's
agreeing. So Shulchan Aruch is agreeing and the Ramah's not disagreeing, so it seems like that's everybody's agreeing. Okay, good.
The only difference he brings down is that by So he gives a whole svara here. Why does Tavlin don't get a bracha?
Okay.
And then he says, check out Hilchos Meister Sheni, Zion Paraktet.
Who says this?
The Steinzel.
Oh, it seems that there's other implications.
It's not a substance.
There's other implications.
It's the chas and no same time.
In other words, the distinction between pre and tavlin does not only exist in insofar as hana'a of bracha, but is universal to other domains as well. He wants to say that's always very dangerous to do that because another area. You know, each era could be formulated in terms of its own identity. Just because, who knows if that's set up in terms of the enjoyment of man in the same way? Just because the same objects, you know, the same, it doesn't mean necessarily that the same, that they're operating according to the same, it's a totally different framework. As we're seeing, bracha is about the foods being conceptualized as the hana of food being properly categorized as being emerging from a object that comes from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the providence of the Kodesh Baruch Hu through the land. Who says that that's the same thing by, what's the other area he's talking about? What's he comparing it to, Rabbi Arslan?
Oh, that would be Meister Sheni Zion Test. I'm looking it up right this exact second.
I mean, you could say it, but I would be careful about that. Meister Sheni is Meister Sheni. That's not the hana of man. That's something else there. That's produce. That's discussing produce and the distribution of produce. Distribution of, you know, the issues involved in classifying distribution of produce as an economic object is not necessarily as the same thing as objects of man's consumption. Not talking about, it's a different category in the industrial, in the economic chain. One is distributing your produce of the field as a resource. The other is the ingredients of your food supply, your kitchen, of your menu. The menu is no longer the produce of the field as a resource. It's two different things, two totally different stages of conceptualization. It'd be very, very suspicious.
Well, he says you can't exchange any milkach bekes of meister ella michael adam shigidula menaret or gidula gidula menaret.
Right.
The makar v'tzom v'yayin v'shechar. If you have ein lochem b'kes of meiser, ma'ayim u'melach k'mehin u'pitrios l'fishem gidil min arts. L'perish m'churim b'karka. L'perish ein adi chom l'agiyel yishlayim. L'fishem dom min v'bakar v'tzom. H'tavash v'chal v'beitzen arayi k'bakar v'tzom afal p'ishem gidil arts arayi gidule gidule giduleha.
There's one big difference already. That's one big difference already. Is that in the framework? In that framework, they're viewed as the that's what Dan was saying yesterday. They're viewed as derivatively from the land. In Hilchos Bracha, we don't recognize it that way. There's no connection. It's a shahakol as much as anything else. Whatever, but you see my point, right? In other words, there's very, very subtle things that seem very similar. There can be very subtle theoretical differences.
Well, he gives a phrase and it says karkum. I guess, I don't know what karkum is.
Uh-huh.
I guess right. Some sort of spice. In nilkach bekes of meiser, l'shein ella lamara. It's like a, Okay. You can't exchange it, so therefore it's putting in the category as non-food.
Okay.
Not okay. Great, because he's defining. It is a good analogy. It's a good. It is a good element there. It is a good comparison.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe so. I'm just saying you have to be very careful.
Yeah, right. You can't be Madama. You know, yeah. You have
to be very careful when the area, even though the objects seem to be the same. We're not dealing with the object. You're dealing with the categories of objects insofar as they are functioning in various
various frameworks.
In different conceptual frameworks. Okay. All right.
So
did somebody say something?
Yeah, I guess I was going to ask a question about the beverages that are not fit to be drunk, but I'm not even sure we've gotten to that yet. So am I understanding that okay. Is he saying that generally, even if you have fresh peppers and ginger, and you're going to make a bracha on that, once something becomes dried and processed to the point that it is a spice, then you don't have to make a bracha on it at all?
Exactly. But it's not so much that it was dried and processed. Because the mere fact that it was dried and processed would not necessarily be a problem, as you see.
Right, because you say the same thing about beef.
Right. But rather that it's made into a spice, and whatever way you make it into a spice, it's changed in the manner of it's clearly differentiated, processed to be a spice. However, one does that. So.
So what is So how is he defining spice then? Something that is put on to enhance flavors of other things? Or what is add mixed during cooking, but not standing on itself?
That which is used to give flavor to other things rather than eaten as a substance in its own right, as an ingredient. It's not an ingredient. It's not an ingredient of a dish. It's not eaten by itself, and it's not an ingredient in a dish. It is purely there to give a flavor.
So what if I sprinkle Parmesan cheese on top of my pasta? I mean, I guess in that case, it's more of a case of mazal. You eat the pasta, so you have an overarching bracha anyway.
It's possible. So the ikar is the pasta, and the Parmesan cheese is the top. You make no bracha on the Parmesan cheese.
No, but what happens if you eat a little bit of Parmesan cheese by itself?
That's a shakal.
So,
that's a good question.
So that's what he's saying. Is it a spice, and therefore you say no bracha? No.
Right.
But no, because let's say in a pizza. In a pizza, you put Parmesan cheese in there as one of the cheeses. It's not that it's a flavor. It's not a spice.
No, but you have put on two different kinds. But Mendel's right. Put on there's actually like shredded cheese, which is used as part of the pizza itself. And then there's the dried out Parmesan. Then you're sprinkling sort of like Parmesan dust upon the thing.
Oh, I see. So when a pizza...
Right, it's funny, yeah. Because there's like four or five containers by the thing over there. Is there one with oregano? So that's a spice or an herb. So which should actually be a separate conversation, because that's not a spice. That's an herb.
Right.
So that's a separate question.
But then there's let me ask you a question as a chef, right?
Yeah.
When there's a pizza that has Parmesan cheese in it,
mm-hmm.
Is it that dried up stuff, or is Parmesan come in another form where it's wet, similar to the pilpilin, where there's a wet form and a dry form?
Parmesan cheese, yeah. There's going to be a couple of different ways to consume, I guess, Parmesan cheese.
Uh-huh. So
that would
be
a question. Yeah.
Would that be a case of a cheese spice, really a cheese spice? Because the Parmesan cheese in that dried form is not eaten by itself, right? I'm not so sure about that, though, because you put it on top of, let's say, spaghetti. It's not the same thing as a pepper. There's a distinct experience of tasting and enjoying the flavor of the Parmesan cheese. It's kind of an ingredient. It's kind of a very...
But is it really...
I don't know. I mean, it's I hate crunchy, so I'm not really a good judge of it. Yeah. But is it kind of a small ingredient, or is it just a spice like garlic?
It's highly dependent on, I guess, the person who's eating it, right? I mean, the same thing with the pizza place. Also, you're going to have a jar of garlic powder that people want to put on top of their pizza. The same thing with the Parmesan cheese. Parmesan cheese can come shredded, which is more like, you know, the fancier kind of more expensive thing. You can shave Parmesan on top of a salad, right, which, you know, is like a fancy type of a thing. Or you can have like the cheap one. Like I have where you cheese and a pepper.
It's a cheese spice. That's interesting. Maybe so. It could definitely be. Maybe if it's in that form, dried powdered cheese, it would be the exact same as a tavlin as well. Just as there's dried powdered pilpul and dried powdered ginger, there's dried powdered cheese. I'm not 100% certain, but it certainly seems reasonable. It certainly seems reasonable. Okay, gentlemen, I will wish you guys a good day.
All right. I won't be around tonight. All right. Have a good one. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.